السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters listening at the madrasa and those listening over receivers, we have been discussing Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's mercy, Allah ta'ala's forgiveness, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His greatness, His might, His power, His glory. Now we cannot see Allah ta'ala with our eyes. Those people who say, until we don't see, we don't believe, then nobody has seen His brains, which He uses the whole day. But He truly believes that He has got a brain. Because if anybody calls Him brainless, idiot, because you haven't seen your brains, so he's liable to shoot him or kill him. So we don't see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but we see Allah ta'ala in His creation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can be seen in His creation. One mango seed, if somebody has to say that this mango seed here, there are a million mangoes within it. So anyone will say, you are stupid, you are a liar, you don't seem to be having any kind of sense. But when that mango seed is planted in the ground, and after some time it grows, we have a huge tree, branches, and then fruits, which for years and years people eat. So where did that all come from? Take one watermelon seed and put it into the ground. And thereafter the watermelons that will grow, each one has got thousands of seeds in there. Where did they come from? If we take a guava or a mango or some fruit, and after some time, then you find worms within it. Now where did these worms come from? Were they put inside there from the outside? Did somebody take some worms from outside and put it inside? Who is it that caused them to be born within the fruit? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we can see His qudrat and His might and His power in our thumbprints, that no two persons' thumb impressions are the same. Billions and billions of people come and go, have come and gone, but no two persons' thumbprints are the same. Now who fashioned this in the mother's stomach? Ah, Allah Ta'ala's qudrat is such. Read the Quran Sharif and then we see in the ayat of the Quran Sharif how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describes His shan, His azmat, His greatness, His glory. That any person with an open mind, he will have to believe that there is the existence of Allah Ta'ala. But after that, how to worship that Allah Ta'ala, if we all had to use our own intellect and intelligence, then we would have gone astray. Because every person will imagine what that Allah looks like, what that Creator looks like, what must be His form and what must be His shape. So each one will then give it a shape and a form. Then each one will say, well, this is what I think pleases Him most, that we should worship Him in this manner or that manner. So again, you will have so many different ways of worshipping. So to show man that how Allah Ta'ala, who is the creator of the universe, who created the heavens and the earth, the waters of the ocean, the sun, the moon, the stars. As I mentioned once, that if we had to be given that opportunity to create, just by way of example, that if we had been given that opportunity, that now you use your intellect and make a universe, create the world, then what would we have done? We would have said, well, after 1,000 years also, 5,000 years also, how high can a man go? So therefore we'll put the sky, like how we put our ceilings, how we put our roofs, at a certain height, like this masjid, or this was at that time not even planned as a masjid. But we said that this is the height that is required, because we won't have anybody taller than this. But in any case, so we would have put a roof of metal, of steel, of iron. Even if it is 1 mile high, we would have put something there. We said every thing requires a roof and a shelter. Then would our aeroplanes have been able to take off? Every time they took off, they would have been hitting the ceiling. And as far as spaceships are concerned, out of the question. And all the satellites which are in space, what about them? So does it not ring a bell that there is some superior creator of the universe? What Qudrat he must have got. As I speak, you are translating, your brains are translating. Different people speak in different languages. Those who understand those languages, they are able to understand what is being said. If a person is being ordered to do something, he understands. If he is told to stop doing something, he understands. If he is told to stand, then he understands that I must stand. And if he is told to sit, he must sit. Look at the knowledge and the education, all these computer chips, when did they come about? It's all recent inventions, these computer chips. But man's mind and brains has been recording millions of pieces of information long before the computer chip came about. Look at the hafiza and the memory that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave to the Sahaba-e-Kiram, the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and to the muhaddithin of the past. Even at present there are so many. But until there were no computers, everything had to be in the mind. All the thousands of sayings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the ahadith, and everything else, where was it before it came onto the kitabs? So those who said that on the day of Qiyamah, the scrolls will be presented, everything that was being done, every action was being recorded, and on the day of Qiyamah it is going to be opened. Every movement of a person, every action of a person, the angels were recording. So at that time we had some kind of doubts that where can they be recording so much of things. But the computer chips have answered that. If we can make computer chips that can record so much of pieces of information, then what about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Qudrat, and if He has got that technology? Therefore the major belief, or the fundamental belief of a Muslim, is Day of Judgment, life after death. That the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, will show how Allah Ta'ala should be worshipped once we have recognized Him. And the last and the final messenger, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He has shown us exactly what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves and what He dislikes, and what will take us in the path of paradise and what will take us to the path of hell. Everything has been shown. So this belief in the Day of Judgment is such a belief that it acts as a brake when a person wants to commit crime. All the prisons of the world, even if we multiply them by another 100,000 prisons, they cannot stop people from committing crime. All the governments of the world, if they have to increase the police force by another million or billion people, they cannot stop crime. Everybody knows it is common knowledge. Everyone says that lots of policemen are very corrupt. So now you have to have a police force to police the police. And then you have a corruption squad. Then you need another squad to check on this corruption squad that they haven't become corrupt now. It will carry on like that until the person doesn't believe that there's a day of judgment. What is it that will restrain him from stealing somebody's money or from burglary in some other way or killing, murders or suppressing, oppressing, tyrannizing, all these things? What can stop a person? It is only the fear that there is a day of judgment on which day a person will have to account for all his deeds and actions. Therefore we talk about mouth, mouth. 25 times, Allahumma barik li fil mouth wa fima ba'd al mouth, and other things that we mentioned. So I explained that mouth and death is not something that you read as a tasbih, that you just count. It is a reality, it's a haqiqat. The whole world can have differences of opinion on everything. There is no question of difference of opinion on death. Now we will say, then why must we keep speaking about it? We must keep speaking about it because it hasn't become a reality in our lives. Our lifestyle shows that we don't believe that we are going to leave this world. Our negligence and our ghaflat, which we are talking about all the time, it clearly shows that we are not truly believing that death can come suddenly. And this also I explained many times, and I will go on repeating because some people sometimes may be hearing it for the first time. That the remembrance of death did not pull back or did not stifle the progress of the Muslim Ummah. The pious and the righteous people of the past and even the present, the remembrance of death does not stifle their progress, whether it is in business or any other profession, in science, in technology, doesn't stifle. Allah Ta'ala Himself, when He says He created the heavens and the earth for us, the meaning of the ayat, there are different ayat. But it clearly shows that He has subjugated the everything to man. And everything has been created for the benefit of man. So how can then He stifle the progress? Yes, what we are restrained from, or what we are asked to restrain ourselves from, is the abuse of that technology. That when that technology leads to immorality, obscenity, shamelessness, indecency, when it leads to tyranny, oppression, look at the manufacture of weapons. What is it used for now? The country must get rich selling those weapons. Irrespective of how many die in the process and how many lives are lost. It's not there just for defense. So we are not conscious of the fact that our death will come and it will take us away suddenly. Otherwise, progress is not stifled. The person can plan ahead, he can become the king, the ruler. If the person is a just ruler, haven't we heard on the day of Qiyamah, is a just believing ruler, then he'll be given shade under the throne of, under the arsh of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on that day when there'll be no other shade. So it shows that he reached the highest position in the land. But the condition was that he must be a believing person because he made use of, we are making use of Allah Ta'ala's bounties. The sight is a blessing of whom? The hearing and speech is whose blessing? So since we are making use of the bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so therefore it is only right that we should be worshipping Him, we should be obeying Him, and we should not be disobeying Him. Don't abuse those ni'mats. So we talk about death because we are living. It's only the living person that is going to talk about death. Have you heard of any dead person talking about death? That you go to the Qabristan, because there'll be a speech there tomorrow after Isha. It'll be delivered by so and so who passed away last year. Did you ever hear or did you see on the board anywhere? There's one great personality, great scholar, professional person, great cricketer, soccerite, he'll be giving a speech from his grave. In fact, the grave itself gives the speech. The grave gives the speech, not the person in the grave. Because the grave has got the person in there whose body has turned to dust now, and all the worms have eaten up everything, except for those whom Allah Ta'ala saved, their bodies, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, some shuhada, or the shuhada and many others. Yeh ek qabr pe bekasi, bazuban haal hai keh rahi. Yeh ek qabr pe bekasi, bazuban haal hai keh rahi. Tumhe aankhe chahiye ghafilo, mujhe ihtiyaj bayan nahi. How many times you heard this too? These are majalis of islah. In islah, that is what happens, that the same thing is repeated in different angles, the same thing. When a person is sick and is given medication, then it's the same medication, sometimes that's taken for months and sometimes for years. And sometimes they say for life, you must take the same medication. The drips, drop by drop, it's the same medication. So the remembrance of that, that yeh qabr pe bekasi wa zuban haal hai keh rahi tumhe aankhe chahiye ghafilo mujhe ihtiyaj bayan nahi. Go to the graveyard and see what the grave is saying. Qabr pe bekasi, helpless, finish. The person could have been a very fit, powerful, strong person. He could have been a great wrestler. He could have been a world boxer, world class boxer, world class sportsman. Or he could be a king and a ruler. But yeh qabr pe bekasi, finish nothing. His tongue cannot wag anymore. His hands cannot touch anymore. His feet cannot walk anymore. Nothing is helpless there. It's only if he is a believer and if somebody sends some sawab to him or he accumulated enough and left from this world, then that will come to his assistance, otherwise nothing. Nothing accompanies the person. Everything remains outside. Therefore, that example that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave. Yet it sounds very, very simple example. But it is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's example. Therefore, there's such depth and such meaning in it and such effect in it, if only we have to understand it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the example of three brothers. He said, a person had three brothers. I'll just give the gist of it. A person had three brothers. One was the youngest, one was elder, and the other was eldest. So three brothers. So he first asks, now his time came to depart from this world. As an example, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving a parable. Now the time came for this person to depart from this world, and everybody has to depart from this world whether we like it or not. Go to any airport, go to bus stops and go anywhere, they have some arrival and departure times there. At least there's some departure time there that this plane will take off certain time, this bus will take off certain time, this taxi will leave certain time. There is some idea, can be delayed a little bit, can be cancelled, anything can happen. But there is a departure time. And as far as mouth is concerned, there is no departure time that we know. It is fixed, but we don't know. Zindagi ka ajeeb visa kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. Aur usme tawsi bhi hai ghair mumkin aur miyad uski nahi maloom. So when the time of departure came of this person, he is leaving the world, he is in Sakrat, just before his Sakrat. So he calls his eldest brother and he says, I did everything for you. I went out of my way to give you comfort, to help you. I'm just giving you an explanation. If you wanted to go somewhere, then I transported you. If you were in financial difficulties, then I assisted you. If you required medication, then I brought it for you. Now, these are not words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm explaining. So he explained to the eldest brother that I did everything for you. I sacrificed my sleep for you. And not only that, but sometime I sacrificed my iman for you too. So now what can you do now that I'm leaving this world? How will you help me? So the eldest brother, he says, well, if you did what you did, good luck to you. But when you are gone, I can do nothing for you. But whilst you are living, I will sit by your side. Whilst you are still breathing, I'll sit by your side. I'll look at your face. I see you, you see me. If you are in the ICU. If you are in the ICU, then I'll see you, you see me. But nothing more than that I can do. I'll sit by your side. As soon as your eyes close and as soon as you depart from this world, then that's the end of our relationship. Then he calls the one who is elder, the middle one. He says, I did this for you, I did that for you, I went out of my way for you. I helped you, I assisted you, and I did all kinds of things for you. I tried to see that you enjoy comfort and you don't have any kind of difficulty and hardship and pain and problem. Now what can you do for me now that I'm leaving from this world? He said, well, whatever you did, but the thing is I can only help to carry you from here, transport you to the grave, put you inside the grave, close up the grave and depart from it. That's all I can. I will help you that much. I'll carry you from here and leave you there and then finish and gone. Then he calls the youngest one and he says, you, I hardly did anything for you. You were the one, I hardly did anything for you. Everything that I could do, I did for the elder one and the eldest one. But you were the one that was most neglected. As I said, these are not words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm giving you an explanation. That you were the one that was most neglected. I didn't care for your education. I didn't care for your tarbiyah. I didn't care for your shelter or for your clothes or for anything else. I didn't do anything much for you. You were the one that was most neglected. So what can you do? Will you come to my help? He said, indeed, I will go out of my way to see what I can do for you. I will not only sit by your side, I will accompany you to the grave, and then I will even help you in the grave. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam questioned them, that what do you think about the first one and the second one? He said, it's obvious, very clear that they are ungrateful people. So much was done for them and they're so ungrateful. They don't want to come to any kind of assistance and help. What do you think about the youngest one? He's the youngest one, mashallah, what can we say? The one that was most neglected and nothing was done for him, he's coming of greatest assistance. So he gave this example of the three brothers this person had. And then he said that the first one is the wealth of this world for which the person spends day and night. Halal, haram, sab kuch andar hai, mas kalandar, as long as it comes. Namazes were neglected. Anything it happens, the person spends so much of time in just accumulation of that wealth. And for the sake of the wealth, he sacrifices everything. So much so that he even sacrifices his iman for the sake of the wealth. Sometimes the person sacrifices his iman also. All the corruption in the world is for what reason? What do the people want in exchange? What is being exchanged when there's corruption in the world? The person wants nothing but wealth. Big, big tenders. Fortune must come. Dark deeds are committed just for the sake of this wealth. So that eldest one is the wealth and the properties and the person's luxuries and everything else that he has. That is what we term as the eldest. That his building says, sorry, I can't come till there now. His wealth says, I can't accompany you till there. I'm just still here. I will watch. As soon as your eyes close, then I'm gone. It's no more yours. Now there's shares of inheritance in there. The father will get so much, the mother will get so much, the wife will get so much, the daughter will get so much, the son will get so much, they all. Really, Sulasutan has mentioned that when a person dies, the farishtas, they want to know that what have you sent ahead? The farishtas, they want to know what you sent ahead. The angels want to know what did you do that you sent ahead that will help you now. And the family members, they say what he left behind. In fact, all the tufan and trouble starts even sometime before the person has left the world. Somebody will grab some jewelry and hide it. Somebody will grab some title deeds and hide it. Somebody will take some cash and hide it away. Somebody will do something else in any way that they can grab because the person is gone. And in fact, many people who are not heirs according to Islamic law, according to Sharia laws, they too will suddenly rise from the graves. And they say, we also have a share now. Rich man's property, so now they all own shares. So the farishtas are saying what you sent ahead and they want to know what you left behind. So that property, that wealth is that eldest one for whom we spend everything all the time in the world. And it is of no help. It's only up till the time that the person's eyes shut and close. The middle one is the person's family members and his relatives and his friends. So they will say, well, we will stay at your side for a little while and when you die, they will give you some kafan, wrap you up and transport you to your grave and then we will leave you there. And there you will have to say, Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo shukriya. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo shukriya. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. Thank you very much, oh my family members, my relatives, my friends, my parents, my wife, my children. Thank you very much that you conveyed me at least to the grave. You didn't leave me rotting there. But from this journey, from this station onwards, I will have to just travel alone. Nobody's wife went to sleep with her husband. And nobody's mother and father went to sleep with the children. And no matter how the children love the father and mother, but nobody was prepared to go in the grave with them. Everyone remained behind. And then he said, the third one, the youngest brother, that is your good deeds and your good actions. The most neglected one, the one that is most neglected is good deeds, good actions. The namaz of the person, the fasting, the hajj, the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, zikrullah, assistance and help to the poor, the needy, the destitute, care and consideration of others, the fulfillment of the rights of the neighbors, speaking honestly, to be true and honest in one's dealing, to be truthful, to be loyal, and to do everything else according to the Quran and Sunnah. Now that is the area that's most neglected. That's the youngest brother. He says, don't worry, whatever it's I can do, I will do for you. Therefore it is mentioned that when a person goes into the qabr, then the Quran Sharif comes from the head side. Because this person, he had the Quran Sharif as his guide. He was reciting the Quran Sharif. And he was following the teachings of the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif was keeping him awake. The tilawat of the Quran Sharif was his passion. So now that will come from the head side. Then the salat is the person was making. Winter time, summer time. Come hail, come wind, come rain. Come summer or winter. But the person was making his salat, he was praying. Because it was a hukam of Allah Ta'ala. He was fulfilling that. So the salat will come from the right hand side. Fasting, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, is a shield. So the shield is normally held in the left hand. So that will come from the left hand side. And then from the leg side, if any azab is coming, any punishment is coming, then his sadaqat and his zakat and his charities, they will come and put a block there. It is like if the person has made a fort around him of steel and of iron, he cannot penetrate there. That's how the person's good deeds, that's young brother, that's what it will happen. It will come and help and assist the person. Then there are so many other deeds that have been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this shows clearly that it is the only thing that will help the person even in this world and the akhirah. Not only in the hereafter, but even in this world, something that is genuine, something that will help even in this world. And it is not just a question of fantasy or just a fairy tale or just stories. See, read the whole history of the believers. I mentioned this in some majlis, that all other means that we adopt, those means that we adopt, there is no guarantee that you will see the fruits. We must adopt the means because we are living in a world of means, but it's not necessary that after adopting the means, we will achieve the objective for which we adopted those means. A person wants to have halal, legitimate child, so he marries. So the marrying is a means. He associates with his wife. Is that a guarantee now that he'll have children? If all those who think that the number of children are in our control. So there's no guarantee. How many people? They are going from doctor to doctor, they're going from specialist to specialist, they're going from tawizwalas to tawizwalas. But no children. If Allah Ta'ala wills, then he will give. Food is something that if you are hungry, you eat. And it should give you health after that. But if the person is a diabetic and he has eaten too much of halwa and he went to some walima and the gajar halwa was tasty, so now he didn't think of his health and he ate a lot of gajar halwa, so then what will happen to his sugar? And if it was already running at 25, the next thing he'll be a candidate for the nearest graveyard. We have a lot of candidates now standing for election. He'll be candidate for the graveyard. So it's not necessary that the eating of the food will definitely give him the health. Person is thirsty, drink should give him, quench his thirst. So these are means that we adopt. And everybody knows that our cars and the aeroplanes and the trains and the railways and everything else that we use for moving from one place to another place, it is absolutely no guarantee that it will get you to your destination. Absolutely no guarantee. The person can just drive out of his house and he can be hijacked and murdered and killed. And the person can drive a little distance and he can meet up with an accident and he's gone. And he can be high above 30,000 feet above sea level and sudden crash of the aeroplane and finish, all gone. So we will make use of those means because we are living in a world of means. So it doesn't mean that now we are not going to make use of those means. That we will remain seated here and we'll say, well, I must reach America, I must reach China, I must reach Japan. We will have to make use of those means. But whilst we're sitting there, then we will read dua. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. Reminding us, إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. Returning to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we'll make use of the means, but we'll not trust in those means to get us to our destination. We'll have to connect with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So I was saying that even in this world, a guaranteed prescription for barakat and abundance in risk and sustenance is the same thing that we have been discussing, what the young brother was. Taqwa, life of piety, fulfillment of the ahkam and laws of Allah Ta'ala, abstinence from sins, crying before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala over one's negligence and one's sins and one's weaknesses and vices and evils, and begging of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for His rahmat and His mercy and His kindness. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Clear cut. Quran Sharif ayat. And so many other ayat of the Quran Sharif on taqwa. Guaranteed that the person who will adopt taqwa in his life, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Allah will find a way out for him. In other words, he'll find an exit in all his difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering. The natural pain will remain, the natural grief and sorrow will remain. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will find a way out for the person. And he'll provide for him sustenance from sources that are unknown. Unknown sources Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will provide sustenance. Now what more does a person want? So the wealth is not something that is condemned. And neither are the children condemned. Or the family is condemned. Nothing is condemned. What is condemned is if it diverts us from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an zikrillah. Oh ye believers, don't let your wealth and your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Conscious all the time that my Allah is watching, my Allah is listening, my Allah Ta'ala is aware of my movements. He can shake the ground beneath my feet. He can cause the roof to collapse over my head. He can cause my car to crash. If it's a pious person and any of these things happen, then nothing wrong with that. He's getting some kind of shahadat. But we sinful ones, we have to be cautious where we are. Ask ourselves immediately, where are we? Where am I? Is this the right place for me to be? Have I got some kind of written guarantee that you will live for another 50 years, 30 years, 100 years? So the three brothers example that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave, what a beautiful example. And it applies to all of us, that if we have to look at our lives, then we have neglected the youngest brother the most. We have neglected the youngest the most. We are unconcerned, and yet he should be shown the most amount of kindness. But that is the area of most negligence. Many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions about brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. And many other places. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions. And we also talk about brothers. In fact, one person, whenever he writes an SMS or something, he say, I'm the brew of so and so. So whilst talking about pride, I explained that if you fall from the first rung of the ladder, it's nothing serious. It's nothing serious. You don't have to call all your bruise because of that slight bruise. That slight bruise that you will get falling from the first or second rung of the ladder, you don't have to call all the bruise and make a big announcement that I got a bruise. But if you fall from a higher level, then sometimes you won't even have this strength left to call the bruise. And sometimes you may not even have life left to call the bruise. So Allah Ta'ala has given us life. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give us the best of this world and the hereafter. He does not want to punish. Allah Ta'ala hasn't created the world just so that He may punish us. But when man becomes rebellious, doesn't want to recognize the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. The moment he's got wealth, the moment he's got some health, he's got some good car and good home and gold and silver, so then next thing is casinos, discos, rave clubs, theaters, porn sites, everything else. Adultery, fornication, prostitute quarters, escort agencies. Once you get money, finish. So that is what is objectionable. And that is what is harmful. Otherwise, use it in good causes. Eat, drink, enjoy the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala within limits. There's nothing wrong. Spend on good causes. Nobody says that if Allah Ta'ala has blessed a person with some money, so you must sleep on cement floor without any bedding or anything like that. Does it say anywhere? So look at Allah Ta'ala's mercy upon us. And how much of things He made halal for us. How much of things. As believers, Allah Ta'ala's ihsan upon the believers is so much, so much. So that is all that is required. And if we use it correctly, if this wealth is used correctly, then that wealth will be of help in the year after. And if these children are given the right education, they are given the right upbringing, they are taught the right akhlaq and the manners, and they are given tarbiyah, and they are taught etiquette and akhlaq, then those same children will become of help in the hereafter. And those wives will become of help and assistance in the hereafter. All that is required is the correct upbringing and the correct tarbiyah. Nobody says that these things will all become a means of disaster for the person. Sadqah jariyah, these things can become, provided we use it correctly. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very merciful, very forgiving, very kind. But at the same time, it is our duty that we should not be negligent. This is my emphasis, that at present it is negligence, we are unconcerned. What we say, what we do, where we are, and if death comes in that place, then what? We are unconcerned. We're talking about the majority of us. You have a few exceptions. So the life that is gone is gone. And the life that is left, nobody knows. And nobody can bring back even 1 second from the life that's gone. Same examples seem to be coming, which I have given many times, that get all the forces of the world, all the military powers of the world, all the governments of the world with all the military might, tell them put all the forces together, all the missiles and all the helicopters and all the gunships and all the navy and everything, put it together and tell them to arrest 1 second of time. Say you put a lot of people in Guantanamo prison and you put a lot of people in other prisons. Now arrest this 1 second only, not much also, just 1 second of time, arrest it. And if not, then at least arrest 1 year of time or plenty of time and say, well, we won't allow you to pass by. My lifespan, if it is 70 years, then I'll arrest you and I'll keep you. So that I can live for 100 years. Can anybody do that?
Maal o aulaad qabr mein jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. جز عمل قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں جز عمل قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں کیا قیامت ہے کہ اس سے تو خبردار نہیں مال و اولاد قبر میں جانے کو نہیں تجھ کو دوزخ کی مصیبت سے چھڑانے کو
Besides amal, juz amal, qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar. No one is your friend in the qabr. What a musibah that you don't want to understand. That. But that same maal and awlaad, if it is earned correctly, if the maal is earned correctly, and it is used correctly, now it will become of help in the hereafter. So focus has to be on that. Everything, but don't forget that there is another journey that we have to undertake. And there is such happiness in that. There is such happiness When the person is away from the dens of sins and vice, when he is away from crime and evil and mischief, there is a kind of noor that is inside the heart. It is a kind of a light that the person will experience. You will experience it. Like now we have lights on. If somebody just switches it off, we always say, gone dark, gone dark. But if it is some remote village where there is no such thing as light, they haven't seen what is light, there's no electricity there. All the time it's dark. All year round it's dark. They use some lamp or candle or something, but otherwise it's dark. So for them it's nothing. But for us, if the lights go off, then even if we put 1,000,000 candles, but we still feel uncomfortable. And as soon as the lights come on, everybody is excited, lights came, lights came. So switch on those lights in our hearts, that noor of taqwa and ibadat and zikr and tilawat, and enjoy the brightness of it within our hearts. And not only in our hearts, we will see the brightness of that in our lives. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make us a zariya of hidayah. But if we don't bring it within our own lives, how do we expect it to come into the lives of others? Every amal has got a light. Every amal has got a light. Every little good deed has got noor and light. As the person keeps on retaining it, he doesn't allow it to vanish, doesn't allow it to disappear. Like Houdini, the magician. This person retains it in his heart. Then once again,
nahi khatm hoti hai mauje musalsal mere bahare gham ka kinara nahi hai siwa tere koi sahara nahi hai siwa tere koi hamara nahi समंदर का साहिल पहाड़ों का दामन बजुज आह के कुछ हमारा नहीं है सिवा तेरे कोई सहारा नहीं है सिवा तेरे कोई हमारा नहीं है الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغفرين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving, most caring Allah. Oh, my most tolerant, most beneficent, most merciful Allah. Day and night we use your bounties for your disobedience. Ya Rabbi Kareem, don't seize us because of our sins. We have nothing but darkness in our hearts. My beloved Allah, we have neglected good deeds and righteous actions. Our nights and our days go in nothing but accumulation of the dunyavi wealth. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you have been so kind, so merciful, so compassionate, so generous, that in spite of all our sins, you haven't ceased us. You are still blessing us with so much of your bounty.
But my beloved Allah,
we have not been able to use the bounties correctly. We have abused this great gift of sight, of hearing, of speech, of wealth, of hands and feet, of heart and mind. Ey Rabbe Kareem, humare hal par raham farma. Hum gande hai, siyakar hai, mujrim hai, khatakar hai. Tere bande hai, mere maula. Tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kaha. Tere siwa humara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi humara nahi. There is no one for us besides you, my Allah.
Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye. Gham tumhara dil hamara chahiye. بحر الفت کا کنارہ چاہیے سر ہمارا در تمہارا چاہیے
our forehead that you adore, my Allah. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly unknowingly. The light of day or darkness of life. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. Don't call us to account for our actions and deeds, my Allah.
Ya Raja al-Mu'mineen, la taqta' raja'ana. Ya Raja al-Mu'mineen, la taqta' raja'ana. Ya Ghiyath al-Mu'mineen, aghithna. Ya Mu'in al-Mu'mineen, a'inna. Ya Muhibb al-Tawwabin, tub alayna. Our hope is in your mercy, man. Bless us all with good health. Shifa is in your hands, my beloved Allah. Don't test us. We're extremely weak. Bless us with complete purification of our hearts, my Allah. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Bless us with complete shifa from all our ailments, spiritual and physical. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are sick within hospitals, clinics, homes amongst us, Ey Rabbe Kareem, give them shifa. Some have undergone operations and some will undergo operations. Others are suffering from other kinds of sicknesses. Sab ko shifa ata farma. Ey Rabbe Kareem, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove the difficulties. Bless those who have children, my beloved Allah, with pious children. Those who have got children, make them pious and righteous. And those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Don't let our children, my beloved Allah, be a source of azab and punishment for us, or a kind of test for us. Let our children be the coolness of our eyes. Let them be sadqa-e jariya for us. Unko nek bana, salih bana. Ey Rabbe Kareem, those on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who have gone for umrahs or going for umrah, give them maqbool and maqroor umrah. Remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of mankind around the globe. Give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all parents, children, spouses. Ey Rabbe Kareem, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of neighbors, rights of Muslims, rights of non-Muslims. Make us all your true slaves and bandas. Ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. When the time of our departure comes, take us to Madinah Tayyibah. سلامتی دین اور رضا کے ساتھ مدینہ شریف میں شہادت کی موت نصیب. اور مقدر دے جسٹین دے ویرے ویٹ می جی لٹی دین اسٹیج تفتیش سیو اس فرام دا عذاب آف قبر دا عذاب آف حشر کاز اس ٹو کراس پول صراط لائک لائٹنگ اینڈ انٹرز انٹو جنت وداؤٹ اینی ریکنگ ان دا کمپنی آف نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صحابہ کرام تابعین تبع تابعین اولیاء امت مشائخ اے رب کریم بلس اس ود یور دیدار ان جنت بلس اس منزل ور اللہ ود یور کاؤنٹننس ان جنت ہماری نگاہ آپ کی ذات عالی نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم prayed and begged for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. From all the mischief, corruption and fitna that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Nabi Pakh صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Except all the works of deen that are taking place. You are well aware of the good wishes, desires, aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you. Fulfill their good wishes, desires, aspirations. You are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of every individual. With your fazl and kindness, remove the pain, suffering and difficulty. And the winds of hidayat will flow out to continents. Qubool kar le mere maula, qubool kar le. Jaise bhi hai qubool kar le. نا قابل قبول ہے پھر بھی قبول ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه ورحمته برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.